And ask myself one more time. I'm Dr. Richard Quint from the California Physicians Alliance. I'm going to be very brief because I'm going to say we're going to move this to D.C. actually next week. What happened in San Diego was there were between 250 and 300 people from throughout the country who were there for the yearly PNHP meetings. And the discussions kicked off by focusing on where are we now and where do we go next. And there was a lot of... it's Barack Obama. He wants to know what to do next. So we're going to tell him. So there was a lot of confidence, which I didn't quite share just because I'm superstitious, but there was a lot of confidence that it was going to be a big victory on Tuesday. The meeting occurred on the 25th and 26th of October. Nevertheless, a lot of the discussion was, okay, where do we go from here? And we see this as a huge opportunity because we will have a president who at least 2 or 3 years ago said he felt that a single-payer health plan was going to be or should be the way to go in order to realize a truly universal, comprehensive health care system in the U.S. For obvious political reasons, he has moved to the center, and he is now wedded to the idea of continuing this combination of a publicly financed and privately financed health care system, which I'm sure everyone in the audience knows has been a failure. And in fact, David Himmelstein, one of the PNHP national directors, reiterated the previous failures of combinations at the state level of this kind of public-private system that's been advertised as universal health care. These were the famous Massachusetts plan, which was inaugurated a couple of years ago, which was designed to reduce the number of uninsured and provide more health care to people in the state. This program is not working. Health care costs are not declining. The numbers of uninsured have declined somewhat, but not to the expectations that they had expected. And it's not eliminating the numbers of uninsured in the state. Moreover, it's not providing the comprehensive care. Can't hear me at all. Okay, that's not a mic. Massachusetts, Maine, Tennessee, Oregon, Vermont, and what am I missing? Washington. And he made the point that it's unethical to prescribe a placebo when a known cure or treatment is available. And we're going to take that message to Washington, D.C. So what's going to happen next week is major players in the national single-payer projects throughout the country, including PNHP, One Care Now, Single Payer Now, all the stakeholders, California Nurses Association, all of those that support and are promoting that we have a truly comprehensive national health care program are going to meet in Washington next week to begin strategizing where do we go from here, particularly to implement a passage of H.R. 676, which is Representative John Conyers' bill, which now has about 100 co-signers in Congress, which is a truly comprehensive national health care program. At the same time, we in California, are we going to talk about SB4? Anybody? No. So in California, we will continue to work for the passage of SB8. It's going to be carried this year by soon to be, Senator Mark Leno. He's going to carry the bill this year. A group of us met with him last week at UCSF. They had a Universal Health Care Day conference, and he showed up and said he is in strong support of SB840 and will carry this bill. So on both the state level and the national level, we are going to move this on and try to move the country toward realizing this. We all know that 75% of Americans now support the idea of having a national health program, even if that means raising taxes. You may not know that now 60% of physicians in the U.S. support having a national health program, even if it means having an increase in taxes. So the public sentiment is now there. We, together, have to translate it to political will to make this happen. Okay?
Excellent. Do you want to speak your take on this? Because that's... Richard left off with talking about how a majority of physicians are now supporting a national healthcare program. And one of the workshops at the convention was about a report on the poll taken that shows that all groups of doctors support this. So Hank, Abrams is, are you still a term medicine physician?
Retired.
Retired. Okay. NICU specialist, retired. Oh, yes, there it is. Retired in 2006. Taught at West Virginia University and Highland Hospital. So he's going to be reporting on this poll that shows that doctors are all in favor of this. You're on.
I think some of you have heard this information before. There was an article published in a very prestigious medical journal in April 2008 showing that 60% of American physicians now support the idea of government legislation to establish national health insurance. We discussed this again at the meeting, and I want to just make a couple of points. One is that I think for those of us who for many years have felt that we represented the voice of progressive doctors no longer can say that. We represent the voice of the vast majority of doctors. And this was a change from 5 years ago when the numbers were considerably lower. And what's happened is that fewer doctors are neutral on this question. Many fewer doctors oppose government establishment of national health insurance, and the vast majority support it. In this survey that was done by a questionnaire, they designed the questionnaire to look at a representative distribution of doctors of both genders, all geographic areas of the country, all ages, and all medical specialties. So they were really trying to make sure that this represented a cross-section of the medical profession. And furthermore, they looked at about 10 different specialties, areas of medical practice. And the interesting thing was that more than 60% of the following medical specialties were in support: psychiatry, general pediatricians, and specialty pediatricians, general internal medicine, and specialists in various fields of internal medicine like cardiology or GI or endocrinology, etc. And even 60% of pathologists. Emergency medicine physicians also. So in all of these specialties, 60% or more are in support. And then more than 50% of people. Oh, and I left out family medicine, very important. So really all of the primary care special fields of practice, family medicine, pediatrics, internal medicine, 60%. And then close to 60%, between 50 and 60, for obstetrics and gynecology and general surgery. And then lower numbers of the surgical specialists, like thoracic surgeons, who are among the very highest paid and probably somewhat concerned about whether their incomes will remain at the same rather high levels after this kind of program gets established. And then there were a few areas of practice where the numbers were below 50%, particularly radiologists and anesthesiologists. But I think that the bottom line is that these numbers are, I think, quite carefully compiled. And I would encourage, when we go to our doctors for medical care, we should make sure that our doctors are aware of this. I think there are a lot of doctors who may be somewhat hesitant about expressing their opinions publicly. Remember, it's one thing to answer a questionnaire. It's another thing to get up in public and take a position. And I think that we should all ask our doctors where they stand on this issue. Let them know that if they are in favor, they're along with the majority, and that those medical organizations like the AMA, who are opposed to government establishment of national health insurance, i.e. single payer, actually don't represent the medical profession. So I think that's the message to take home. We'll save questions for later.
Okay. Would you go with either primary care? Okay. Okay. So our next speaker is Lisa
Wong.
And.